Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Thrive Like a Parent podcast. Today, I am really excited to have on Sarah Reardon, who is a pelvic floor physical therapist. And Sarah and I were just talking before I hit record that we have so many different connections. We've both went to WashU in St. Louis for grad school and she went for undergrad. She remembers my sister from WashU in St. Louis. Sarah spent some time here in Austin. And now she is in New Orleans, which is my home base, and plays Mahjong with all of my old Mahjong buddies. And I saw in your story, Sarah, the other day that you got a set, and I'm so excited for you. I still have my set underneath my stairs. I don't have Mahjong friends here, but every Tuesday, is it still Tuesdays?
It is. It's Tuesday evenings. And they're such an amazing group of women. So they've just been so great and fun and just super supportive. So they sent me my first set recently.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. And, you know, I was messaging you back and forth. And one of the real reasons I wanted to have you on is because I just, and I know this is why you do what you do. Like, I just don't think that this is talked about enough. And our pelvic floor health, and for all the dudes, the men, the dads, any of you human males who listen to this today, we will probably talk more about the female productive system and all the things, but this does affect males too. And I don't want to take that away from the men. But I really wanted to talk about females and our bodies and what happens after childbirth, because a lot of the individuals who listen to this podcast are parents, and I don't think there is enough conversation around it. I think it's very taboo, or I think it's like, oh my gosh, I'm peeing when I'm jumping on a trampoline, like this or that, you know? And not enough people are talking about it. It's again, it's like a taboo topic. So Sarah, I'd love for you to introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you got to this point in your life.
Thanks, Brooke. Well, I am Dr. Sarah Reardon. I'm a board-certified pelvic health physical therapist. As Brooke mentioned, I got my training in St. Louis at WashU, and then now I'm back in New Orleans, which is my hometown, and work at a private practice called NOLA Pelvic Health, and then have an online exercise platform that I created a few years ago to help folks from all over called The Vagina Whisperer. So I really started an Instagram account about 6 or 7 years ago called The Vagina Whisperer for my group of girlfriends. We were all having babies around the same time. And I kept answering the same questions over and over, like, what's the best belly support? Or do I really need to do perineal massage? Or when can I get back to working out? And I thought, gosh, everybody needs this information. Why am I the lucky vagina owner who picked this field and just happened to get all of this education? So I put it on Instagram and just started sharing it with my group of girlfriends who shared it with their group of friends. And it's just organically grown now to almost 600,000 followers, which is amazing. And I think a real testament to your point to how much women and people need this information and they're not getting it from elsewhere. I have husbands, partners, girlfriends, parents, you know, daughters reaching out for their family members, not even just women themselves, because they're like, hey, I know somebody that has this problem. Can you help with that? And so I think that there is more awareness thanks to social media, but I still think we have a really long way to go to integrate healthcare for this part of our body into our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'd love to know a little bit about what led you to this path of, like, clearly you went to PT school, but what really brought on the interest for you, or how did you get into this for yourself?
It's so funny because I'm writing a book right now called Floored, which is due out in 2025. And I am trying to like trace back and answer all of these questions as I'm writing it. Like, how did I end up here? And, you know, I started right out of PT school as a pelvic health therapist. And back there, it was just called women's health therapy. But mm-hmm. as you mentioned, males and all genders are affected. And I think first is that I just really love learning more about my own body as a woman. I thought it was pretty fascinating to realize that there were muscles helping me with peeing and pooping and sex. And then also when you work with people in your clinic and they come to you for things like, you know, they're married and they've never been able to consummate their marriage because sex is so painful, or older women who are in pads and diapers and they don't want to socialize because they're so afraid they're going to smell, or you know, even pregnancy, people during pregnancy or postpartum who, you know, exercise is their release for mental health. And, you know, I know you post so much about dancing and movement. And when you're peeing your pants, you don't exercise because you're embarrassed. And so these limitations are so impactful on our quality of life, but we don't talk about them. And I just loved being able to help people with something they didn't know there was help for. And you literally see it change their life. And that's just selfishly rewarding for me.
I'd love for you to talk a little bit about what is normal versus what's not normal in the pelvic health world of like, if this is happening, this is not normal. And if this is happening, this is totally normal.
Totally. And that's such a broad spectrum. And I think to even just kind of bring it back to the basics of like, what do these pelvic floor muscles do? Because we never talk about them and we don't even really know what they're for. So, you know, it's a basket of muscles that sit at the base of your pelvis and they help hold in pee and poop with the sphincters. They help, you know, during intercourse, they allow for sexual intercourse through the vagina. They help with orgasms. They help support your pelvic organs and they help support a growing baby during pregnancy. During birth, they relax during a vaginal birth to allow baby to come down the birth canal. They relax for sexual intercourse. They relax for bowel movements and urination. And then they also help support us during exercise and different movements throughout the day. So it's interesting because they're involved in all of these like really important day-to-day functions, yet we rarely talk about them. And if something goes wrong, you don't even know that muscles could be involved. So for urination, for instance, if you have a hard time starting your stream, like you're sitting and you feel like you have to push to get started, or you feel like you don't empty completely, or you leak with coughing or sneezing or jumping on the trampoline, your muscles are involved. With pooping, if you strain to have bowel movements, you have hemorrhoids or anal fissures or pain with bowel movements, or you leak poop or can't hold in gas. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I was like pregnant and walking down the aisles of a Target and I was like, okay, do I abandon cart and run to the restroom or do I bring the car with me and risk not making it on time? Those are your muscles. And then, you know, during birth, if you have a vaginal birth, we need these muscles to relax and lengthen. During sex, you know, you need the muscles to relax and then contract and relax during an orgasm. So it's pretty much if there's an issue with peeing, pooping, sex, you know, support, if you've got pressure, heaviness, or prolapse, anything in this region from pretty much your belly button to your knees, if something doesn't feel right, I would get your muscles assessed. It may not be the problem, but it may also be a part of the problem.
Yeah. And I also think it's important to talk about too, like, it's not just sometimes that your pelvic floor or that your muscles are so relaxed that, and if I'm saying this wrong, please correct me, but that they're so relaxed that you are leaking, you know, it's also sometimes that there is the issue that your muscles are really too tight, right? And that they can't relax. And then maybe you can't enjoy sex or it hurt, like you're saying, it hurts. Like, I think that individuals may not understand that it can absolutely be both.
Right. And, you know, I think that that's the biggest injustice of when we talk about the pelvic floor is we were all taught to just do your Kegels and tighten your pelvic floor for better sex and less leaks and stronger orgasms. But yes, your muscles are like any other muscles in your body and your pelvic floor. They can get tight and tense, and Kegels can make the problem worse. So the focus really needs to be on relaxation and lengthening and softening those muscles if you have tension. I always compare it like I am at a desk a lot writing and typing, and I get a lot of tension in my neck and shoulders and I end up with headaches. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing for your pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. Your body just holds the tension in the pelvis and then you end up with like things like difficulty peeing or pooping or painful sex or abdominal pain or IBS or IC mm-hmm. or painful bladder syndrome. So yes, it's so important that you kind of know which track your muscles are going and so you know which path of treatment to follow.
Okay, so if they're more loose, if you're the one who's like leaking, what are some things that individuals can do at home? Or I know you have the Beehive, which I planned on talking about later, but like what are some of the things that individuals can do to just kind of tighten it up, if you will?
Right. So, I mean, just like you would if you had, you know, weak back muscles, you would do certain exercises to strengthen your back, but it's not just one exercise you would do. You wouldn't just do push-ups all day, right? So it's really learning the foundation of a pelvic floor contraction, which is what we also call the Kegel, and bringing that Kegel contraction into different movements. Because if you leak, you're probably not just leaking when you're sitting. So doing Kegels in the carpool lane isn't going to be what strengthens your pelvic floor. It's going to be doing that Kegel contraction with a squat or a lunge or a step or a plank or a push-up or a little jump. You know, learning how to use your breath and to contract that muscle during functional movement and exercise is really what's going to help most. Mm-hmm. Also doing, there's different types of Kegels. There's quick ones where you just contract and relax. And then there's longer holds where you squeeze and hold for 5 or 10 seconds and then relax for 5 or 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So you want to work both types of the muscle fibers. So you do quick and long holds and you want to fully relax the muscle so you just don't walk around tightening all the time. So that's why I don't love telling people to like use a jade egg or a Kegel ball and just pop it in your vag and walk around all day, because that's not how you strengthen a muscle. You don't just bend your elbow and hold your bicep tight to strengthen your bicep. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing for your pelvic floor.
So I'm going to ask some questions that I've written down that I'm sure, again, most don't talk about, but I wrote them down because they're probably ones that people, again, don't want to talk about. But I think that the questions need to be asked so that we can get answers, right? So pain during sex, that's not normal, right?
I always say pain with sex is not normal unless you want it to be. But pain pain is information and it's telling our bodies something's not right. It could be a tense muscle. It could be scar tissue. It could be nerve irritation. But pain should not be a normal part of intercourse, again, unless you want it to be.
Agreed. Queefing during, I don't know, working out or like involuntary,
yeah,
if you will.
So queefing is, you know, a vaginal fart. So it's when air gets trapped inside the vagina and your muscles aren't quite strong enough to hold it in and the air escapes. It's really common when you have tension in your muscles or if you have weakness in your muscles. And we most often see it with weakness. It's really common postpartum. It's common when you're breastfeeding or lactating, when you're vaginal wall tissues are a little more relaxed because your estrogen hasn't plumped them up yet. It's common with aging. So it's common, you know, after sex or with yoga or any type of exercise. So it's, you know, I would really focus on kind of contractions. And when you strengthen a muscle, it gets thicker. Think of when you do bicep curls, you get like a nice bulky bicep. That's kind of what we want for our vaginal walls. Mm-hmm. And so strengthening can really help thicken those walls so that less air gets in. And if air gets in, you have a better ability to prevent it from escaping.
Okay. Leaking urine while either coughing, sneezing, laughing, or running.
Not normal. Never normal. It's interesting. I just did a reel about this where there was a weightlifter who was like a world champion weightlifter who was like just completely emptying her bladder on the gym floor, lifting a really heavy load.
Wow.
And this is common in heavier weightlifting, CrossFit type communities. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this woman's poor pelvic floor. But I kind of compare it to like a running injury. Like we have runners that are hobbling across the finish line because of injury. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But what happens when you have too much pressure on the pelvic floor and the muscles aren't quite strong enough or quite coordinated to hold it in, your bladder is going to leak. Mm-hmm. So it's a sign of dysfunction. You need to train your muscles to turn on at the right time, to be strong enough or thick enough to kind of hold enough. Hold against that contraction or hold against that pressure, I should say, with a cough or sneeze. But one of the easiest things I tell people to do is like Kegel before you cough or squeeze before you sneeze. Even if you're strengthening your pelvic floor, if you're not using the muscle when you need it, then it's not going to work for you necessarily. So even just doing the simple act of like tightening before then can actually help over time improve how your muscles are performing and help prevent leakage.
Okay. So can you explain to anyone listening how to do a proper Kegel? Because totally. I think that there's misconceptions of like how to do this.
And it's hard. I mean, this is a muscle we don't see. So yeah. It's like if everybody knew how to do them, there wouldn't, be so many Instagram accounts trying to teach everyone. But, the real function of this muscle is to squeeze, like you're holding in urine and holding in gas. So I tell people to kind of sit up tall, put your feet on the floor to start. I want you to inhale and exhale. And just that deep breath in and out helps just soften and relax everything. Because again, a lot of us are holding tension we don't even realize. Mm-hmm. And then I tell people, I want you to think about like you're sipping up a smoothie with your vagina. So sipping up a thick smoothie. So it's a little bit of like a draw up and a lift and then relax everything.
Okay.
If that doesn't work for you, you can think about, okay, I want to think about if I'm peeing, I'm trying to hold in my pee and then I'm also holding in gas at the same time. So it's the front and the back sphincters that are pulling up and in. Mm-hmm. It's not tightening your tush. It's not holding your breath. It's not squeezing your thighs together. Those may happen, but the real contraction is small and subtle. And it's like just a gentle squeeze and lift of those muscles.
Okay. Okay. I'm like trying to.
I know. And I'm like, girl, get a mirror and watch to see if your muscles are pulling up. Put your finger in there, depending on how,
I love this. I love this. You're like, get down and figure it out. Like, do it. Yes.
Like, how else do we know?
And it's so awesome. It's
really easy for me to say because I look at vulvas all day and I do pelvic exams and vaginal assessments all day. But I'm like, this is just a body part. And like, if we kind of have to know what our normal is, and then we don't know when things are not normal. So I'm like, look at it, touch it, feel it. Like it's the same thing with sexual pleasure. I'm like, if you don't know what makes you feel good, then how can you express that to somebody else? Like we've kind of have to know our bodies a little bit.
Yeah.
In order to, I think feel more comfortable in them, know their function, and then be able to explain that to other people.
Yeah. How much of what you do would you say it comes up in conversation, or the conversation ends up being around sex, or like discussing sexual pleasure, and like it's like having these uncomfortable conversations probably with either men or women? Like how much would you say is around that for you?
I think pretty often, but I would say that probably not even as often as people want. I still think that it's a very taboo part of our culture. And I mean, I've had pain with sex in the past and I'm like, oh, this is not great. And you have this tendency, I don't know if it's being a woman or a mom or just a human who's a people pleaser, that you're like, I want to push through this, or I feel bad, or, all of these things, that this pressure that we put on ourselves, versus just taking a step back and saying like, okay, this is information. This is information about my body, that something's a little bit off. I do the Peloton a lot. And so cycling tends to cause a little bit more muscle tension. I also am a tense, anxious person. So my body holds on to that. So I have this tendency towards tension and overactivity in my pelvic floor, which can lead to painful sex. And I can just whip out my little trusty wand and press on a muscle here and do that there, and it is helpful. Or incorporate breathing and yoga into my practice as well. But if you don't know those tools and you kind of just keep dealing with it and think that it's normal, or accepting it as part of normal. And I always say, like, as parents and moms, we don't need another reason to not have sex. Sleep, fatigue, kids, exhaustion, low libido. So like pain does not need to be on that list. So I think it's something that it's definitely worth talking about. It's also very multifactorial. Like the physical piece is just one piece. But if we're able to kind of pinpoint, okay, what is going on with this physical piece, sometimes it gives us the capacity to explore other things like emotions or mental health or other barriers that could be affecting our sexual health as well.
Yeah, that's really true. I saw someone that I follow in stories the other day, and she was hula hooping outside with her son, and she was dying laughing, and she was just videotaping herself in her stories. And she was like, I've definitely peed on myself like two or three times. And I think we kind of almost play it off and think it's funny. Like when we're in our 30s, 40s, like it's like, haha, like I had kids and now I'm leaking a little. Maybe you didn't have kids and you're leaking, but I don't necessarily think that this is going to be something that we're going to want in our 50s and 60s. And so, like, I would imagine, and you tell me, this could potentially get worse,
right,
if we don't tighten it, you know?
Right. And I think, and address it. So I think that, you know, laughter and laughing about these things definitely brings a sense of levity to it. And that's important because it is kind of embarrassing, or not even kind of, it's very embarrassing. I mean, I've leaked on myself when I was pregnant or during an orgasm or playing tennis, and you're like, God, this sucks, you know? And then so we want to lighten it and talk about it, which I think is step one. Mm-hmm. But two, I also think we need to seek resources for it. And yeah, some people will never get completely dry. But when I look down the line at the, you know, you go to the grocery store and you see an entire aisle of incontinence pads and diapers and creams and medicines, I'm like,
there's a reason.
I don't want that to be my destiny. And yeah, I also know with, you know, after menopause, like, you know, or during menopause, our hormones change and we don't have that system of estrogen and progesterone and testosterone to kind of prop up our systems and our pelvic floor like we've had. So it will only get worse with aging. And so I do think it's critical to, one, bring levity and light to it, but also to address it sooner than later, because it doesn't get better by itself. I mean, the research is clear that one out of two women over the age of 65 pees their pants. And I'm like, but we all have a 50% chance, well, right?
Either you or me, right?
Right. One of us, Brooke, is, you know, that's, we're going to be walking down that
aisle.
It'll
probably be me, because you clearly, you know what you're doing, right? So that'll be my future.
But I still have to work on it. You know, yeah, like I started a new workout and I was like, oh, okay. I feel like I could almost pee. And I'm like, okay, I've got to go do my V-hive workouts, or, you know, check in with my doctor, make sure my hormones are balanced and all of these things. So none of us, it's just kind of a given. I think we all have to work on it, but there is a sense of awareness of like, okay, this isn't going to get better. Let me take care of it. The thing I do want to mention though, is that we will all get there in our time. Mm. I think one of the things I have realized as a mom and also as a therapist is like, we have a ton of shit on our plate.
Mm-hmm.
And doing your Kegels is just sometimes one more thing on your plate.
It's one more thing.
And so I'm like, let's everybody give ourselves some grace. The therapy, the workouts, they're all there when you need them. And it is a commitment. It's a commitment to your body though, which I do feel like when we take care of our bodies, you know, that's kind of step one as a mom or a parent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I also want to encourage moms not to like put too much pressure on themselves, but there's probably a couple really easy low hanging fruit that we can do during the day to take care of our pelvic floors. That's not so overwhelming.
Yeah. I think that's a really great point because, you know, even this last year for myself of kind of getting diagnosed with Hashimoto's and like, okay, this is another thing. Like, and I teach like how to regulate your nervous system for a living. You teach, you know, how to like have pelvic floor health. Like we're teaching how to be a healthy human within whatever part of our body, right? Literally taking care of yourself could be a full-time job, but being a parent is a full-time job. And then potentially working if you have a career is a full-time job. And then on top of it, you know, when I worked at Children's Hospital, those days I was like, I don't even have time to like call and book an appointment to go see a doctor. Like I was writing notes during my lunch hour and like it was back-to-back-to-back clients all day long. And I think it's, we are stretched so incredibly thin just as humans in a society that it's really difficult to try and tend to ourselves and take care of ourselves. And like you said, this is a commitment. This is something that would take time and effort, but it's also part of self-care for ourselves as well. You know, so there has to, I don't love the word balance, but there like has to be some form of balance and whatever that looks like. Maybe it's, you know, our diet intake of like, I don't feel good when I eat that, or, you know, not eat that. And then maybe it is our pelvic floor health, or maybe it is exercising or this or that. Like we can chip away at it very, very small. I can't speak today. Very, very gradually, I should say. But it is definitely a work in progress to take care of yourself.
It is. And, you know, I don't put the onus all on moms and women, too. I mean, I think that our healthcare system really didn't prioritize our pelvic health. It still doesn't. You know, I think that this is education that I, in my, you know, dream of dreams of what would the pelvic health care system look like. It's like, hey, when you start having periods, you actually get a lot of education on how do you insert a tampon. I mean, I have so many friends that their mom, their daughters are going through puberty, and they're like, my daughter can't insert a tampon. Like, what's wrong? You know? And I'm like, well, they don't even know how to use a tampon or a menstrual cup, or kids are going to sleepaway camp and they're like nervous about getting their period because they only wear pads, or you become sexually active and you don't even know that birth control can affect your vaginal dryness or your libido or even how to have sex. Or, I mean, there's just so much education that literally goes into pelvic health care that you don't even realize, from getting your first OBGYN visit to having a baby to going through menopause, where I think in my dream of dreams, it's like peppered in throughout our life versus we have a baby and then we're just like, this huge transformation happens and we feel totally overwhelmed with life. And now we're like, oh, and we need to do our Kegels, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, having a child is, I don't think we really put enough thought into it in terms of having or starting a family is absolutely life shattering, life changing, life altering. And I'm not saying it's in a negative way, but it is completely life altering.
Yes.
We're now taking care of an infant who would not survive if we did not make sure, you know, they stayed alive. And it's a lot of loss of self within that part of our lives. And we do begin to very slowly abandon ourselves, or we do begin to very slowly put it on the back burner. And that's when we wake up and we're in, you know, underwear with pads, or, you know, like that's when, you know, like when it's way down the road and our children are grown and now it's time to take care of ourselves. And that may be when we do it, you know, but, I think that this is such an important topic because no one thinks, oh, well, this menstrual cup just keeps falling out. Like, is that normal or not? You know, like, oh, these tampons don't fit. Maybe I just need another one, or maybe I need a smaller one, or, you know, it's something that we can take care of, or it's something that we can work on, or it's something that we can work towards. And like you're saying, not just in the carpool line.
Right. Right. And I also think it's really empowering. I think it's really empowering to go for a run. You know, I have a mom here in New Orleans who I've worked on and off with for years, and she all of a sudden like couldn't run without peeing her pants. And then we worked and she did my workouts and she is using a support, and she's like about to, you know, run her first 10K that she hasn't run in 2 years. And to see the joy in her face and how good she feels in her body, I think it's a little bit of like reclaiming who we are and who we felt like we lost. And so there is so much more to it than just like, you know, jumping in the bounce house. Those are things that we can kind of avoid, or our kids grow out of that. But there is a sense of self that you can really kind of start to reclaim and feel confident in when we do this work. And it's, you know, I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, it's hard for me because I'm a busy mom too, but I always say it's like brushing and flossing your teeth. Like, you do have to give it a little bit of love.
Yeah.
We see our teeth. We wouldn't just all let our teeth rot because it's a visual thing that we see. We don't see our pelvic floors or problems down there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's one of those things that if we just kind of find ways to integrate that care across life and across a day, it becomes much more manageable.
I would love for you to explain a little bit about your V-Hive and what that looks like. What does that, is it a workout plan? Like, tell me more about it.
It's a little bit like your pocket pelvic floor PT. And so the way that it's designed is you go on and you take a quiz, because I still think a lot of people don't know what they should do for their pelvic floor. They're like, do I have tension, or, you know, I have pain with sex and I leak urine. Like, which way do I go?
Yeah.
Or I'm pregnant. Do I need to do Kegels, or do you need to relax after birth? Or so it's a quiz that you take that kind of helps you define like, hey, what is the pathway for you? And then, you know, it walks you through like, hey, these are the two or three different programs that you need to do kind of in order. And then they are 10-minute workouts. And
no, that's
you do,
not bad at all.
It's
10
not
minutes.
Bad at all.
Come
I
on.
Know. And even that sometimes is hard for me because I'm like, okay, 10 minutes before I go pick up the kids. But I made it literally because I was like, I can't do these 30 and 45-minute workouts that like all of these other fitness professionals are doing. I'm a pelvic floor physical therapist. Like, what could I do as a busy mom? What could my mom do who's postmenopausal, who still wants to work on her pelvic floor?
Yeah.
What could somebody who does bar or yoga or dance do that, like, they don't just want to do a pelvic floor workout? So it's really designed for all seasons of life and everything, again, from pregnancy to postpartum to menopause to painful sex to after surgery, because a lot of my patients are like, have hysterectomies or mommy makeovers or endometriosis surgery. And, you know, so it's 10-minute workouts 3 times a week and a ton of education. I mean, I feel like 50% of my job is just educating people like about this part of their body, how it works, how to connect with it, how to know if something feels off or wrong, teaching them how to pee or poop properly and then doing exercises. So, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a monthly subscription. So you start it, you can do it for, everybody gets a week free when they join. And I'm like, try it out. Like, if you're like, hey, this doesn't work for me, I'm like, then it's not for you, you know, or come back to it at a later time. But it's really to give everyone affordable, accessible education and exercises, no matter where you are.
I love that. I love that. That's what I thought it was, but I definitely should try it out. I thought it was more of like a workout, especially to focus in on the pelvic floor. And it seems like you do you do monthly?
Yeah, I do.
Meetings or?
Yeah, so, you know, this came about, it's interesting because people are like, how do you think of this stuff? I'm like, people ask. I mean, it's really people telling me what they want.
Yeah.
And I would get a lot of questions that were very specific, you know, and I thought like, okay, if you're a member, we do a weekly Zoom and then you can kind of have one-on-one access and people submit questions about different topics. So
I love that.
This month it's endometriosis, next month it's cesarean birth, the month after that, or we just did one last month that was all about like sex. And so people submit their questions and they're completely anonymous. And then we have a live Zoom and you log on if you can make it. And then we record it if you can, and we put it in your membership and we timestamp so you can go exactly to what question you want to answer. But I always say, like, one, nothing is off limits. And two, like, if you have that question, somebody else has that question too.
That's true.
And so it's really helping so many people who are like, who do I ask this to? Or this feels weird, or I've never told anybody this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, girl, this is my
jam. Bring
it on. Yeah. Like, I love it. I get so rejuvenated. And because I'm like, this is what I do all day. And I want to be able to share it with people and demystify it and not make it weird and help them. And so I really just like thrive off of that ability to educate people and to connect with this part of their body. It just, it just makes me happy because I'm like, it's not weird. It's not gross. It's like, it's just your pelvic floor.
You have 2 boys, right?
2 boys. Yeah. Just 2 boys.
Mm-hmm. What do they think about you being the vagina whisperer?
I
mean,
so
clearly you make it very, you know, natural, like you're saying, like, it's very normal, but like, I would love to know, like, from their point of view, like, my mom's the vagina whisperer. How's that going in your house?
Totally fine. I mean,
that's
it is so normal.
Yeah.
It's funny because I just went to go visit my twin sister in Chicago to do a pelvic floor event. And I traveled with like my little pelvis and it was like packed in my kid's suitcase next to his Nintendo Switch. I mean, it's
amazing.
And my sister's like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. And like, my kids are like, it's just pelvis, you know? And so it's just, it's funny. As they get a little bit older, I can see as they start to get questions, it may become a little more awkward for them. But like, the questions I get are so fascinating to me.
Sure.
Like, they'll see a tampon string and they're like, mommy, what's that? You know? And you answer these questions or like, why do you have a vagina and I have a penis? Or like, you know, just things that are kind of normal. And instead of being like, oh, we don't talk about that, I'm like, I sprint to my model. I'm like, let's talk about it. You know?
Yeah.
But it's also like, I want to raise boys who, if a girl gets her period, they don't think it's gross or weird, or
totally.
They just understand their own bodies and they understand the differences in bodies and that it's just a body, just like it's just a body part. And so, the funniest though is I have this stuffed vulva costume that I'll dress up in.
I know, I love it.
For reals. And they think it's a hot dog. So they're so like, I get to wear the hot dog costume next, you know?
That's amazing that you have to take pictures with them in their vulva.
I have tons and
that's
they're
amazing.
Like, don't post that, mom. I'm like, only for your wedding one day, buddy.
That's amazing. And I definitely have videos of Eli from when he was younger, probably Charlie too, but I just made it a joke. Like, he like found a tampon and he was like, how does this come out? Like, and I've watched it back again now. And I'm like, this is precious and adorable, but you do just have to make it
normal,
you know, everyday language. And you do have to just look, I'm raising two boys, you know, solo. So like, it is what it is. Sometimes we're in hotel rooms together or this or that, but I just kind of think to myself, you know, like if they ask questions and they see something, then it'll raise awareness so that then they will know. And it's just a part of life. It's not something taboo and it's not something gross or dirty or this or that. I would say I definitely grew up in a home where we weren't as open. It was very hush hush, or it was very presentable. You know, it was very, we didn't get down and dirty and talk about all these things. And I've had conversations with my sister before of like, how do you think you're going to raise, even before we had kids, like, how do you think you're going to raise your kids? And talking about all these different things. And she didn't know at the time she was going to have a boy and a girl. I have two boys, but we did know that we wanted to do things differently and just kind of making it not so off limits. I want the boys to know that they can come and talk to me. Yes. And I'll answer questions and it's okay, because then whoever their partner is, then they'll be able to support them or support themselves or all the different things, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I am Asian and I grew up in and just during the times, it was like, here's a book and a box of tampons. Like,
yeah,
tell me if you have questions, you know? Yep. And so I think how open I am now is not necessarily how I grew up at all. And the interesting thing is I don't think I was just this kind of person who was always so open. But when you work with people day in and day out, and they are sharing the most intimate details of their life,
yes,
personal, vulnerable topics are being brought up and talked about. I'm like, how can I not be personal and vulnerable? How can I not talk about a body like it's just a body? Because that's how I'm asking you to talk about it. And so true. I think it's really helped me grow and evolve as to like, hey, this is just a body part. And, mm-hmm. You know, some of it, it's always, I'm always like, is this age appropriate now? And, you know, my husband weighs in like, oh, it's a little soon for that, Sarah.
You know? Sure.
But I think it's really is changing, I think, how we raise this next generation, I hope, about using proper terms for our bodies, mm-hmm. and what the functions of these body parts are. And it's not just sexual. And then having them kind of be more familiar with a woman's body versus just their own, and vice versa. So it's definitely an evolution for me as a parent, I think for them as kids, but I do think more of us like yourself and me are just thoughtful about how we're raising sure. them, mm-hmm. and changing the narrative that we give them.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate all of that. I have one more question for you. And I always ask, a lot of times I ask just any entrepreneur that I have on here, how has it been for you as a human to have a business? You not only have an online business, but you also have a freestanding brick and mortar clinic. You are a mom to two crazy little boys just like me, right? Who are lots of energy. How has that been for you to be able to show up for yourself and show up for your businesses and do all the things? How has that journey gone for you?
In full transparency, it is hard.
Yeah.
It is not, I mean, it's not easy. It is a constant evaluation of how am I doing? I don't think I'll ever wake up and be like, I've got it made. You know, yeah. I love what I do, but I've had to pull back on a career front in the past year and a half in some aspects of the clinic, because I'm sure. like, I just have too much going on. And I feel like even when I'm with my family, I'm not with them. I'm thinking about my next reel or my notes or this new project and just really not being as present as I want to be. I always feel like sometimes when my work life is thriving, my home life is struggling and vice sure. versa, you know? But I also think it's awesome because I love what I do. The yeah. time I'm away from my kids, like I love my job. I mm-hmm. love what I do and the people that I work with and the patients that I am able to help. And so, you know, I think that if the time I'm spending away from them, it feels rewarding and nourishing in a different way that helps me be a better mom. I would say the biggest struggle I have is self-care. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I tend to just fizzle out and then I'm like, oh, I've got to put myself back together. But, you know, I've got some practices now that are very consistent for me that have really helped. Like I have a therapist, I go to acupuncture. I picked up tennis, which is not just an exercise. It helps me be outside and kind of turn my brain off for a little bit. So, you know, over the years, I've put into place some things that are pretty consistent and helpful, but it is hard. There's yeah. just no two ways about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And the reason I ask that is because I do think that, you know, your career, like the journey of Vagina Whisperer and writing a book and building, like even building the V-Hive, like that didn't just happen overnight. And I think that sometimes individuals see, oh, wow, like if they can do it, so can I. And you can do it. Like anyone who wants to build a career or wants to do a you know, social media platform or whatever it is, like you can do it. But I do think that some are making it just look like easy. Some are like this is just like, you know, like this is totally easy. Like that blink, click, like rub a genie and you got it all made. And it is, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes sacrifice. It takes, you know, sweat and tears. It takes all of it. And it isn't sometimes the easiest to juggle all the things. But at the end of the day, like you're saying, it is so worth it because we love what we do. But I just love talking to other entrepreneurs about it and discussing how it may not happen overnight. But if you have a message or if you have something you want to share, like very similar to you, like your message needs to be heard. Like that's one of the reasons why I have you on here today is because I want others to know they're not alone. The things that I've written down are definitely not normal. And I wanted you to be able to elaborate on those and share with everyone. And I really appreciate you being so open and honest and just telling it like it is today. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. And I do think that that's such an important piece, whether it's for an entrepreneur or a mom, it's like, it is a journey. And there is like, it's not easy. There's nothing easy about it. Rewarding, yes. Fulfilling, yes. But easy, no. You know, and even with parenting, I think that like, oh, I've got this down. And then you turn a corner and you're like, oh, wow, this is a season I wasn't expecting. You know, and so like, so the first time I'm raising a 9-year-old boy, totally different challenges than raising a, you know, a small baby. And so
totally.
But the same thing with the business is like, you can't navigate COVID or, you know, Instagram. All of these things are just constant changes. And so it's just how we're handling those hard times and those changes. And sometimes we do it better than others. But yeah, I mean, I feel incredibly lucky. I do feel fulfilled. I have a partner who is very supportive and doesn't mind me showing people how to poop on the internet or wear vulva costumes. So he's great. But yeah, I mean, I think, but I also haven't done it alone. You know, I have a lot of support and a team of great people I work with and, you know, a great family who's been supportive. So I think that that's a big piece too, is that we're not alone. We have great people to help and even relationships like this that are supportive along the way. So it's all been great.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah, for coming on today. I know that you just got back from vacation, so I'm sure you're settling in. I got back from vacation yesterday as well. But thank you so much for doing this and sharing. I would love for you to tell everyone where they can find you so that they can continue learning about all the good stuff.
Absolutely. So I am on Instagram at the.vagina.whisper. So if you go to the Vagina Whisperer, you'll see my Instagram, lots of pelvic floor, pregnancy, postpartum, mom life stuff there. I'm on TikTok at the Vag Whisperer. And then my online workouts are at thevaginawhisperer.com. You can take the quiz, go through the process, check it out for free. And there's tons of blogs and free content on there as well. It's really like your one-stop vagina shop. So like go on there, go down the rabbit hole and, you know, hopefully you learn some great things in the process.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And until next time, XOXO, Dr. B.